Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's officially a game week. Sort of. This week on Pod Like a Raven. It's game week. It's game don't count week. But we're excited to have an actual football game to preview for you here on Pod Like a Raven. I am Antonio Barbera. And thank goodness that we have an actual football game to talk about and games following that every week, pretty much, from here on out, because pre-record here, we started getting into the nitty-gritty of Lamar Jackson being ranked second overall in the player vote for the top NFL players, and we don't want to be doing that anymore. Enough of that. Those unimportant conversations about how he was 2 and Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes was 4, and how, you know, whatever about those placements. Let's talk about actual football, actual games, actual players, and their performance. I'm excited to talk about it. Let me bring in my co-host, starting with Tim Horsey. Tim, football, Friday night. It's game night coming up. You excited?
I am very excited. The first preseason game is always interesting because it's one of those where you're like, you're itching and clawing. Now, again, growing up for, 98% of our childhood, the Orioles were terrible. So, like, there was no reason to even watch baseball at this point in the summer. And you're just itching. And, like, the sicko I am, I'm going to watch all 4 quarters and then realize that I don't know about 85% of the players on the field for the majority of the game, especially the way the preseason is played now. But still, you get the purple out there, you get the black, you get the boys in uniform. You get Lamar on the sidelines with like that all-time Orlando Brown, Lamar Jackson meme of like, oh my God, what did he say? Preseason, it is what it is. You get real excited for it, and then you get in there and you're just like, nobody twist an ankle. Of course, there's no reason to not be excited when we're talking about Ravens football here.
And Jace Evans, I'm going to quiz you guys in a second here, but I feel like Jace is just going to know this immediately on some of the fourth string players who are probably going to make an appearance that I don't think we've heard of. But Jace, you will probably get these players, but how are you feeling coming into week one of the preseason?
Yeah, I'm excited. Similar to what Tim said, preseason has changed a lot over the years. I do feel like when we were kids, like, you were pretty much guaranteed to see some starters for some length of time. And I think that's very different than what we're going to see on Friday night. I doubt we'll see Lamar Jackson. I doubt we'll see pretty much anyone you could probably label a starter or like a slam dunk starter anyway, that who already has their spot penned in. Probably not going to see any of those guys, but it is still exciting. You know, I watched the Hall of Fame game on Thursday in its entirety before it was rained out. I can't say I was, was super locked in, but it was nice to see football and have Joe and Troy on my TV. And, it gets you in the mood for football. And as Tim said, it is nice the Orioles are actually good. There's a reason to pay attention because, like he said, as a child, kind of what drove me into just diving so headlong into the Ravens was the Orioles were so bad by June. It was like, all right, training camp's next month, and then football's here. You start thinking about football in July as a Ravens fan back in the mid-2000s. I still have that a little bit, and especially with the games getting on. It's kind of like your first, like, all right, we're in the home stretch. We're in August now. Games start next month. There's only 3 preseason games now, and so we're getting closer to roster cut down, and yeah, just excited to see the guys out on the field and, learn about some guys. I'll to what you said. There are going to be some guys, probably especially after halftime, where I'm just like, not sure who this is, and probably not someone we'll see on a field wearing a Ravens uniform in all of the 2024 season. So you will have some of that, but it's still very exciting and exciting time if you're a football fan.
I just pulled up the depth chart real quickly.
You close that up.
There's a guy on this team named Bump Cooper Jr. And I hope he makes the team. But there's some names on this list, I will say. Dayton Wade, by the way, in that slot receiver conversation. Yeah, there's going to be some, I don't want to say no names, because obviously they've made it this far into their NFL career. But there's definitely going to be some Googling going on towards the back half of this Ravens football game.
You start seeing players wearing like 16.5, and you're like, I don't think this guy's gonna make it. He's gonna have to try to stick on the practice squad. Okay, before we get into the game preview, just want to kind of quickly go over the past week and really the past 2 weeks of camp, and bring up one point specifically that I feel like we have seen or read or heard about day after day, and it is the defense dominating the offense most days, if not every day. Turnovers galore, stops galore, and my only question is this a good thing that the defense looks amazing? Is this a concern that the offense looks terrible? Or is it neither of the two, and this kind of tends to happen every summer with the offenses being a bit behind the defenses and things work themselves out by September?
That option right there for me. I think this is a very typical thing that happens with all teams, not just the Ravens. You see that the offense, you know, it's a bit more complicated, is the wrong word, but probably a bit more complicated to implement the ideas that you want to, especially when you're trying to get down to working out the kinks. When defense, you can kind of just, you know, you could play more instinctually, I think, on defense and be successful. And it also helps that the Ravens have an incredible defense, right? So they're ahead of schedule already, and their defense is already very good. You know, all the concerns about all the players the Ravens lost, be damned. That defense is still one of the top five, three units in the league for me. So not surprising. Great to see the defense stepping up, and I'm not super concerned about the offense yet until we get into week one or, you know, week two, and there's continuing issues. That's when I'm hit the panic button.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. As you said, it's kind of a league-wide trend, and I think we've seen this with the Ravens several years in a row. Certainly last year, I believe, was very much the same case. I do think what, Tim, you hit on, it kind of is something that's just been, I don't want to say eating at me, but just I've been thinking about, and I do think it is like, the idea that the Ravens defense is going to fall off a cliff is like completely overblown. Now, defense is like something that doesn't actually seem to translate as much year to year as a good offense in the NFL. It's just kind of a weird thing. I think it's, you know, the nature of turnovers, that kind of thing. You can have some fluctuation, but like all the best players on the Ravens defense are back. And in many cases, like in Kyle Hamilton, where you're entering year three, you're like, he should be better, and like Marcus Williams should be healthy. So I do think like this defense still should be really good. And if Zach Orr, you know, there's a reason they had very high faith in him. Clearly, they anointed him the defensive coordinator, and he's what, our age, right? Isn't he like 31, 32? So
don't. I'm not even looking that up. Don't do that.
But so clearly they're high on him, and I think just kind of broad strokes, I do think the Ravens defense is going to be really good this year. Probably better than their offense. We'll see, I guess. But I'm very high on the Ravens defense still, even if I do think it might have a slight drop off. But I don't see a world where it shouldn't still be one of like the top, you know, 7, 6, 5 defenses in the NFL. So that kind of has me excited too. And just like being like, oh yeah, we have Roquan Smith, we have Kyle Hamilton, we have Justin Madubuike. It's all good things. So, yeah, no, I'm not concerned about it. By all accounts, the offense, too, has been better when Lamar has actually been back. So that's a plus. We'll get into, I guess, the offense a little bit. Something to keep an eye on for this preseason game. But, yeah, on the whole, completely fine with it. No worries, no concerns on this end.
All right, I'm going to ask my co-host to quickly close those depth charts that I'm sure they have up for the episode, because I want to just a few quizzes here. You know, we're getting into school, back to school season for the younger folk. So I'm going to name some names. And for the record, everyone I name, I did not know what position this player plays. So I fail the quiz to start, but let's see how my co-hosts do. And I'm going to start with this one. Can you guys tell me what position Corey Bullock plays?
That's insane because I played rugby with a kid in high school named Corey Bullock. I don't think it's him. That would be pretty crazy if it was. That just, I mean, and maybe my high school bias is here. That sounds like a offensive lineman or a linebacker. So I'm going to go, do I have to give you a position on the offensive line?
Sure. Yep.
Right guard, Corey Bullock.
I for some reason, the name, I'm going entirely off name. It feels like a DB to me.
Okay, interesting.
See, I thought Jace was going to be all over this one just because Corey Bullock, he a Terp.
Oh.
So, there you go.
Uh-oh.
He is a center, so Tim was very, very close. Ooh, I feel like that's like, I don't know, 8 out of 10 possible points for that one. Okay, let's do just a couple more here. This is the best one. Evandy Rigby. What position does Evandy play?
See, that one for me screams defensive back. So I don't know why. I'm going to go corner with Evandy Rigby.
I have this similar energy, but the other side of the ball. I'm saying wide receiver.
Jace is as cold as August is
hot. Oh, no.
Evandy Rigby is he's fighting for an inside linebacker position. He's currently listed as 4th on the depth chart for left inside linebacker.
As it turns out, your name does not determine what position you play.
In this case, no. All right, let's do one more. Oh, I had somebody pulled up, and then they were so vague to me that
and
I
can I make an admission? I looked at the roster before we started today just to, like, in preparation for talking about the preseason game, and clearly none of these names just went through my eyeballs and out the other.
I was just looking at it 3 minutes ago, like, and I don't know these. So.
All right, last one. I found it. What a beautiful name. I don't know how to pronounce it, shockingly, because I've never heard it before. Trammell Walther. It might be Trammell Walther. What position does this guy play?
This guy, I will say, is a defensive lineman.
I'm going to just go back to the well with defensive back.
This is a defensive lineman.
Wow.
Jace,
finally. Oh,
he is a defensive end out of Georgia. Good luck to all you guys out there. No, but jokes aside, obviously, they're still in the, like, 0.1% of successful human beings.
Craziest athletes on the planet.
Fun that every year you get a new host of names that you've just kind of never heard of before. I thought Jace was going to have some of the college football names locked down.
A lot of guys on these teams.
Yeah. That's true. So, with that being said, those are the players that we're going to see in this game. So as a result, as we kind of go through what we're looking for, players to watch, some position group battles, I'm going to force my co-hosts. They are not allowed to say that what they are looking for in this game is no injuries, because we all know it. We all hope for it. It's not going to happen, unfortunately, because these are the Baltimore Ravens. But yeah, they have to avoid saying that. And if they do say that, they lose all those points that they earned earlier in the episode, getting the position groups of the players. This is a very intense episode. We take this stuff very, very seriously. But actually looking at this game, Friday night against the Philadelphia Eagles, none of it matters, even though Harbaugh may try to just kind of keep another win streak alive, win streak alive.
Can I say I'm so glad that's over, by the way, just so it's not like a talking point. I was like thinking about it as we were preparing and be like, oh yeah, that win streak's finally over. The Washington guy, kicker, flashing the L before they ended up with the second pick of the draft. It was great times last summer, but yeah.
I love the dig, Jace. I love the dig. By the way, you guys were the second worst team in the National Football League.
But yeah, it's just good to not, like, this is just a normal preseason now. We don't have to talk about streaks of randomness dating back to 2015. They're just playing a game against the Eagles, as they simply do every preseason.
All right, let's get to probably the most important or glaring issue that needs to be addressed on this Ravens roster, and that is the offensive line. So looking at this first preseason game, we don't know a ton about what the line is officially going to look like or what the Ravens hope it's going to look like. We have gotten some clues here and there. For this game, looking at the O-line, is it almost more about who doesn't play in this football game that's going to give us a better shot of, or a better understanding of who is actually going to be playing when it gets to week one? Or is the line not even developed enough for that to be a situation where they have to put these guys on the field to figure out which one of them is actually going to earn the spot, as opposed to in practices and, you know, what they see on, in the in-house, but they actually have to get these guys out against competition and see how they perform.
It's a really interesting way to frame that question, because one, generally, I don't really know how much starting offensive linemen play anyway, for the most part, because remember, there are not a lot of guys in that unit. I mean, you look at, and this is just our lads depth chart, which are usually the most up to date. They're actually four deep at center, which is weird, but then three deep at every other position, including Corey Bullock. But three deep at every other position. So you would think that if you can sit guys, or if you want to sit guys, I should say, you would. For me, again, not really knowing how it works, I think a majority of the guys that are in play are probably going to start or play in this preseason game. And the reason I say that is, take out Ronnie Stanley, take out Tyler Linderbaum, the two sure things on the offensive line. Ronnie Stanley, it's a weird thing saying sure thing now, but you know what I mean. The other guys in contention all have different things about them that I think they need to prove themselves. So you look at, you know, maybe Patrick McCary might not play because they kind of know what he is at right tackle, even though that's not necessarily his, you know, his number one position, but he's done it. He's proven what he can do in a game situation, so maybe they're cool with him. Roger Rosengarten, the second round pick out of Washington, he's a rookie. We need some game tape on him to see what he's doing. Daniel Falele, it's a new position for Daniel Falele at right guard, kicking inside from right tackle. Probably need to see some game tape on him. Andrew Voorhees, the seventh round pick last year, 2023, obviously missed all this time with an injury. By the way, weirdly, and I just saw this because the Ravens promoted this on their social media, which is hilarious, Andrew Voorhees is the second strongest player in Madden this year. Like, just a weird – guy's never played in the NFL, but they're like, we're going to give him, like, 98 strength because he's just a mauler, which dumb brain went, yeah, probably could push some guys around there on the inside of the offensive line.
They saw him hit the bench after he tore his ACL and were like, this guy's a dude.
This guy is a mean MF-er, yeah. But again, a guy that hasn't proven it on the professional stage, has never played it down in professional football, he needs to be there, I think, to get some game tape and to see how these guys work together. And if you have, and then you're talking about your Ben Clevelands, Salah, the kid out of Oregon that he drafted a couple years ago, Josh Jones. So all the other like backup guys in contention. I think you have to play a lot of these guys just because you don't have enough game tape on them. But at the same time, you also do kind of want to see how they work as a unit, albeit a unit that's probably going to be missing its two best players and two most important players, but still see how, especially on that right side of the ball, what right guard, right tackle combo works the best. Like what, you know, this is a unit that is basically, if there's one like hole in the armor, the whole thing blows up. You know, it's a house of cards that really needs to be refined. And I think for all of those reasons, you're going to see these guys play a decent amount.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree that McCary's probably of the guys in contention for any of these spots. He might not play just because he's been around so long. The coaches obviously love him. And they did work in Roger Rosengarten, officially got started to work with the ones in a kind of rotation with McCary this week. So it kind of seems like they want him to get the job, but sort of just, you know, starting McCary off. And I've said this before on the show, but the McCary thing always fascinates me, how they're like, he's one of our most important linemen. We love him. And they keep re-signing him. And he's in like a sixth or seventh year with the team. And they're like, but we're not guaranteeing him a starting spot at all.
Will he start? Absolutely not.
Yeah. I've always just kind of felt it weird how they find him this indispensable piece, and they never seem to want to start him. You know, he has had some injury problems, I guess, over the years. But, yeah, I don't know. So I'm not going to, guess, be shocked if McCary ends up as the week one starter, but it seems like their preference certainly is Rosengarten. So, yeah, I'm kind of with Tim. I think they'll all play. I think... I was thinking, I was like, will Voorhees play? He seems like he's pretty much nailed down the left guard job, sort of.
I think you got to see.
Yeah, I think so too. Just because when you were saying it, I was like, yeah, he hasn't played NFL snaps for real. And you can't be week one and then see him just get bulldozed over and over again week one by, you know, Chris Jones and be like, uh-oh, this guy can't play at this level. So you got to get him out there before you go into Arrowhead Stadium. So yeah, I think for me, this is certainly the number one thing to watch. And obviously, it all comes with this giant caveat of the quarterback who makes it all work isn't going to play. I think that is sort of important, I guess, when it comes to the line. But you'll learn some stuff, too, especially if they start with Josh Johnson. That guy's not going to be able to move in the pocket, even in a preseason game. So, I think you get a good sense of the line when you do have to kind of protect a statuesque sort of quarterback who's 38 or 37, 38, however old Josh Johnson is these days. So that's what I'll have my eye on the most. I don't expect great things from the Ravens offensive preseason besides Lamar and Derrick Henry and our two best offensive linemen and probably every starting receiver, including like the likes of Nelson Aguilar. Those guys probably won't play. So we're not going to see, I think, too much from the offense outside of just how does the line sort of look and function and who looks like they're NFL level players, because that's part of what you're trying to gauge with these rookie guys. That's what I'll probably be focused on the most, certainly on offense, just because what I'm not doing this year, this is my pledge to you all. I'm not getting sucked in by the undrafted free agent wide receiver that the Ravens have every year who catches like three or four touchdowns in these meaningless preseason games. And everyone says, oh, like, was it Jalen Polk? Like all these guys that people get hype up and then just never sniff the team. It's like, I don't think our receiver room's great. And Rashad Bateman, of course, got hurt making the best play of the day today, holding his midsection. We'll see what that happens. You won't see him on Friday night at any rate, it seems like. I don't think our, receiving room's absolutely great, but it's good enough that we're not going to have anonymous guys make the team or do anything. So don't get overhyped about them. That's my message to Ravens fans this preseason. We're not hyping up these guys. It's done with. You don't have to pay attention to it.
By the way, Jalen Polk is the Patriots receiver first round.
Oh, right.
The kid out of Washington. You're thinking of name guy here. We could just, it doesn't matter because the name doesn't matter. Just so Jace doesn't get roasted in the comments.
Thank you.
Jace, you did hit me with the absolute hammer blow that I forgot. I mean, I know, but I forgot that the offensive line completely retooled and the first real challenge they have is going up against the Chiefs and maybe the best interior pass rusher active in the National Football League. Yeah. I'm getting real flashbacks to the Vegas Raiders week one disaster on the offensive line where Lamar was just running for his life all game. I'm concerned. So let's run away from that topic because I don't want to dive into it. No, it's going to be fine. We're going to watch these guys in preseason and they're going to lock down some roles. It's just guard, guys. It's just guard. It's not quarterback. It'll be fine.
Guard's important.
On the other side of the ball, a player that I selfishly want to see but don't think I will is a name that we're just kind of writing in pen, is just going to slot into the starting lineup on the defensive side. They don't have a lot of starting spots to fill this year in terms of replacing departed players, but one of them is inside linebacker, and it's Trenton Simpson. And I want to see him. I want to be reassured that he is a starting caliber NFL player. We saw one game of him, basically, last year. It was the Steelers game. He made a couple of nice plays. It was also a meaningless game for the Ravens. I don't know how much to take away from that, given how disheveled that Steelers offense was too. The weather was terrible. Am I making this up?
It was driving rain. And it was like 38 degrees.
So I have no idea, basically, what Trenton Simpson is. And it's just like, oh yeah, no, he is just going to take Patrick Queen's spot and like just deliver 120 combined tackles this year. It's going to be fine. I doubt he plays because he's technically a starter right now and Harbaugh will not play starters. But I mean, what do you think? Prove me wrong on this. Does he have to play? Will he play a drive? Do we get to see him like get a few hits out of his system in the preseason, or what's the situation there? And how confident are you in him just kind of walking into that starting spot?
I think what's interesting about the Trenton Simpson thing is how much they seem to value Malik Harris. You know, not only for special teams, but, you know, if you look at the depth chart, he's the number two weak side linebacker behind Trenton Simpson. But he also plays on the outside. You know, he was drafted as a middle linebacker. I think there's a sneaky chance that a guy who, again, was drafted in 2020, the third round of the 2020 draft, who has been around for a while now, you know, in terms of NFL careers, if we're being honest about it, I think there's a chance that Harrison has a really good preseason and they say, you know what, this kid's going to start for us for the foreseeable future. Now, it's really interesting because I think the Simpson thing, when they drafted him, he just reminded me of Patrick Queen at the time of Patrick Queen, where it was like, oh, this guy's a little undersized and, you know, let's call it what it is. He's a piss missile. He's very, very fast for a linebacker. He's a hard hitter, but he is see ball, hit ball, fine ball, hit ball, and do it with an incredible athletic ability. Do they want to put a guy like that next to Roquan? And Roquan cleans up all the mess, maybe? Or is there something to having another trusted veteran inside with Malik Harrison, who is kind of the opposite, right? Bigger guy, thumper, like not seen as a quick, modern middle linebacker, I would say. So, yeah, it's something that I haven't really, to be honest, I haven't really thought about as we talk about it here, but I think they're, the way you bring it up, Antonio, I think you're right. I think there is more of a battle there than originally led on by the Ravens.
Yeah, and I guess I'm both encouraged that they're confident in him. Clearly the team is. Aside from Tim was saying with the guys they had, like, your only other real offseason move at this spot was bringing back Chris Board yet again. And that's probably more for special teams than anything. So you're kind of, you know, really entrusting him. And yeah, I do think fans have wildly overrated that game from Trenton Simpson at the end of last year against the Steelers.
Ravens Twitter? No way.
Yeah. It's a real battle between Ravens and O's Twitter lately, which is driving me kind of more insane. Every time
there is, this will not be released because we have not started the Patreon exclusive text thread yet, but there was an all-time, I was at the Hootie and the Blowfish concert.
Hey, my parents were there.
Having a great time. So the drummer listens to Sirius XMFC, so we were able to meet up with him.
That's awesome.
after the gig and everything, too. It was great. It was great. They put on a hell of a show. Hootie rips, by the way. Just still rips. They got all the hits. But I just looked out at my phone at one point, and I think this is when this was coming down. Maybe it was Sunday, and I can't remember. It was all, the weekend was a bit of a blur. I just looked and I went, like, Jace and Antonio going back to back to back to back to back with, like, 17 text messages. And I wish I wouldn't do this because it would just blow up their phones. I was just going to put the like emoji on everyone. Like, I had no other thoughts because they nailed it. And a lot of it was about just the fan bases just being super fun to deal with, especially when they get good. A lot of Jason Lockett 4 is out there, which I think is interesting. But, yeah, it was... At some point, that one will never be released, but at some point the Patreon's coming out, and you guys are going to see all that in the moment as one of us just gets set off by something dumb that somebody said on the internet.
Yeah, so in that vein, yeah, like the Simpson hype is, I think, a little overblown by the fan base. I'm trying to keep my expectations low. I am encouraged that, as Tim pointed out, he's playing next to Roquan Smith, and I think that will certainly help things. It helped Patrick Queen. And I do think we are underestimating a little bit, at least, what Queen's impact, him leaving, is going to be. He's a good player. And I think it's easy to write him off as being, like, a Roquan Smith merchant, if you will, benefiting from playing alongside him. But the other thing is just, I think that's turned me, or not just me, but everyone against Queen, is his full embrace of the Steelers. It's been annoying. I get what he's doing, but I think that's played hand in hand with people downplaying, you know, how big his departure could be. And it's one of the bigger on the defense and certainly larger than, like, Geno Stone's exit. And, you know, maybe akin to Jadeveon Clowney's exit. So it'll matter. We'll see. I actually think Simpson might play, but yeah, I'm trying to keep my expectations low for him.
I think one on the Queen thing, you nailed it. Like him just being a total troll now and just saying like the Ravens are a crap organization and all this stuff is one, it's completely ridiculous, and two, he's like a mid 20s year old, 25-year-old, however old he is, with a Twitter account that he knows he can piss people off, so he's going to, because he's a 25-year-old with a Twitter account. That's what most of them do. And you're so right, Jace, of like, look, I've done it. But like, we all saw what Patrick Queen was pre and post Roquan, so we're just like, ah, he's just going to go back to pre Roquan when he's with the Steelers, and he probably learned a little bit from one of the top two linebackers in the National Football League right now. So like, he's probably going to be a bit better. I still hope he fails miserably. stays healthy, fails miserably. But on the Harrison thing, I do just want to read this out, because it's not just, you know, Antonio does his research here, and it's not just something that came out of thin air because he's the next guy on the depth chart. This comes from Jeff Zaribek's notes on Friday of last week, and I'll paraphrase this because it's a lot, but basically the Ravens consider Malik Harrison to be one of the unsung players who make their defense as versatile as it is. There's a reason Baltimore prioritized re-signing him in the offseason. In addition to being special teams, as we talked about, he plays strong side linebacker on early downs, setting the edge against the run and being physical with tight ends and running backs, which is very important in today's NFL. He's also one of the team's top reserve inside linebackers as well. So there's a spot for him on this team, and it might be more important than we think. And on Trenton Simpson, if Trenton Simpson is like Patrick Queen light, like diet Patrick Queen next to Roquan Smith, we can't be upset about that. Like, I think we have to accept that is a good base for a second year player trying to grow into a role.
Patrick Jack, if you will. Just not quite Patrick Queen, but Patrick Jack.
Way better. It's way
Boo.
Better.
I'll do it myself on that one. But yeah, I that's all good points. I wonder, just as a kind of a closing note on that, if week one is a rotation of these guys, and it's just whichever guy is fresh playing next to Roquan. I don't even hate that, really. The snap count thing
that they all tweet out that after week one will be really interesting.
Yeah.
To see kind of how that divvies up if, you know, we're not down by 35.
All right, so I said at the beginning of that segment that selfishly I wanted to see Trenton Simpson. Selfishly, I want to see Derrick Henry play. He's not going to play. But I feel like every 3 days I forget that he is the starting running back of this team. I need to see him in pads, hit somebody, one play, I don't care, and then just run off to the side. I need to see gigantic Derrick Henry in the huddle. He's not even going to be wearing pads, which is also annoying. I want to see him in pads on the side. I need to get the sense of scale to get more jacked up for him as the starting running back, but it's not going to happen. And I'm bummed out by it, because even though it's the right thing to do, I want to see it. Other places of the roster. Rookies. Nate Wiggins, your first-round draft pick. Is he going to play? I doubt it, but maybe a drive. Devontae Walker. Rasheen Ali, the reserve backup, whatever you want to call him, running back, who is going to have to kind of make some plays to stick as the, let's say, third and a half running back based on where Keaton Mitchell is in his recovery. So some interesting names here. Some will have to play to stand out. Some will play because they're mid-round rookie draft picks. Devontae Walker will get some snaps. But curious to see a guy like Nate Wiggins and how involved he is as that blue chip first rounder. So what do you guys think about the rookie class and their participation in this game?
I'll just go quickly. I think you nailed it. I mean, we talked about it on last week's episode about Adisa Isaac and DJ Tampa not doing anything this year because of just how they've started, and that's unfortunate for them. Running back's interesting, right? I think, you know, Derrick Henry is probably going to be more of a bell cow than we've seen in a very long time, probably since Ray Rice, probably, with the Ravens, in terms of majority of carries, you would think. You know, if God willing, it all works out and he stays healthy and what have you. And then after that, it's a lot of questions at running back. Rasheen Ali, like, by the end of this season, it is not crazy to think, oh, yeah, that's the number two guy for the Ravens. You know, Keaton Mitchell, who knows? It was just a horrendous injury that he suffered, which is just the worst, because, like, obviously, gosh, just Henry and Keaton, Keaton Mitchell as a backfield, just as you talk about thunder and lightning or whatever, you know, you want to put there, it would have been so good. Justice Hill is Justice Hill, guys. He's just Justice Hill. Like, we know who Justice Hill is. By the way, looking at our lads, he was drafted in 2019. You could have told me Justice Hill was drafted in 1974 with the Baltimore Ravens, and I would have believed you, which is just crazy, a side note. But I think Rasheen Ali has a really good chance to make an impact here. You know, you find, as a Ravens fan and as a fan of any franchise, you tend to gravitate towards the people on draft night that are like, sneaky good pick by your favorite team here. But there was a lot of people like Benjamin Solak, who is a very, very well-known and, you know, fun nerd name in the football, the spheres, that I remember seeing, like, when they drafted him, they're like, holy crap, what a pick by DaCosta. Rasheen Ali is going to work great with them. And that immediately pumps you up, because Ben Solak is way smarter than me when it comes to football and definitely knows what he's talking about more. So it's just, it's interesting because of the dynamic of that room. That it's Derrick Henry and a bunch of guys. And I think Ali has a really good chance to be a prominent guy behind the guy in Derrick Henry.
Well, and especially in this game, he should get a ton of run. Like, he should. He's probably the starting running back. Like, I'm not going to be stunned just because it's a John Harbaugh team if we do see Justice Hill out there very briefly for a few carries. But, you know, more than likely, he probably sits most, if not all, the game too. So, you know, your top two running backs are out. Keaton Mitchell's still hurt. And so then you're just like, you look and it's like, this running back we drafted and then a bunch of undrafted guys. And obviously, like, Keaton Mitchell, you know, came on strong as an undrafted guy. So these guys can pop. But, yeah, certainly he has the runway, Ali does, to sort of show what he can do and nail down that entering the season number three space. As you guys kind of said, like, Henry is going to be, I think, you know, the bell cow back in a way we haven't seen in a long time. And I am excited to see that. And unfortunately, we will have to wait, I think, till the season opener. But that's okay. And then of the other rookies, just sort of the thing with Wiggins, I want to see. I think we'll see him briefly, just for what we were talking about with, like, Voorhees and Rosengarten and stuff. Just these rookies. And it's just going to be kind of what we talked about back in draft time, is the size, the physicality.
Yeah.
Has he balked up at all? Does he get pushed around on the edges on run plays in ways that are potentially concerning, that kind of thing? Yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome if he, like, picks off a pass from, I don't even know who's the Eagles' backup.
Kenny Pickett, Jace. Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, so we'll see some Kenny in our lives, I guess. Because Jalen Hurts certainly is not playing in this game. So yeah, it'd be cool if Wiggins picks him off, but... you know, it's more just the physicality, just the size, what he actually looks like across from NFL. And again, admittedly, if he plays, NFL backup receivers, because the Eagles starting receivers, A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, aren't going to play in this game. So, you know, that's what's always kind of hard now these days. It's like, yes, they're getting experience, but they're getting experience against guys that aren't even the starters, which I guess if they struggle, that's where you're concerned, where you're like, uh-oh. This guy's struggling against, like, backup receivers, kind of covering, so we'll see, I guess. But
can you imagine just, like, if all starters were playing, Nate Wiggins lines up against A.J. Brown, and you're like, oh, my God. And then he lines up against Devontae Smith, and you're like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah, this is fine.
Because Devontae Smith is so – it's funny. It's so interesting that you mentioned that if he plays, watch this, because total recency bias. But I remember watching – Kyle Hamilton the first time in a first preseason game and going, that dude's a safety? Like, holy crap. He looks, and I say it all the time, queen on the chessboard. Like, he looked like that in a physical role. It'll be interesting to see how Nate looks and, you know, sadly, how he looks the other way, because I think it's going to be a bit concerning when you see him out there for the first time.
Another position group I'm going to talk about briefly is wide receiver. Just because the preseason hasn't started yet, and we're already kind of tight with numbers. Guys who will make this team at wide receiver: Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Nelson Agholor, Devontae Walker, just because he's, you know, mid-round pick. That's four. Deontay Hardy, I also forgot that they signed him mostly as a returner, but he will make the team as a wide receiver. So that's five. Do they stop at five? Do they add six? And if so, then you have a battle. Tylan Wallace kind of fighting for a roster spot if he's going to be the returner will have to kind of fight with Deontay Hardy, or has Hardy already like cemented that role and that's why they got him to begin with? Malik Cunningham, who the Ravens famously got from New England, the converted quarterback to wide receiver situation, he will be trying to make this team. Kadir Ismail, a fun late sort of back of the roster guy, son of Kadri Ismail, unlikely to make the team, of course, but it's already a crowded room there, and we're fighting maybe for one spot between like seven different receivers. So I'm curious how you guys see that shaping out.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, I feel like Tylan Wallace is very much in the same place it kind of was last year, where it kind of came down to he's the special teams. It was with our good friend James Prochet. That was the kind of the battle for that final wide receiver position. And it kind of came down to they valued what Wallace did on special teams more. But as you said, they bring in Hardy kind of with the idea there's this new return. It looks goofy. I don't know if you guys caught the...
It looks wild.
I'll get used to it eventually, maybe. But it's very odd to look at after, you know, 30 years of watching it one way. So there's that. But, yeah, I think it'll come down to very, you know, normal John Harbaugh things of who's he valuing special teams in with these new sort of return rules, if that prioritizes them keeping a guy like Wallace just because, you know... Before they had him kind of take over return roles when Devin Duvernay got hurt, you know, he was one of their top gunners. That's why they loved him. So if they still prioritize that, I imagine Tylan Wallace will somehow find a way on. But, I mean, like you said, that's a ton of guys already just with the five. And not to mention, like, we know they're taking three tight ends, like, and also Patrick Ricard. So... they might just stop at five, and maybe a guy like Wallace ends up on the practice squad or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised with that, but yeah, so that's also part of why I said, like, I'm not putting any stock in any sort of undrafted free agent receivers. Cause I think kind of you laid out, we pretty much, I think, know who they're taking, and it's just going to kind of come down to if they take six or if for some reason they find themselves dissatisfied with Deontay Hardy. Seems unlikely. He's a former Pro Bowl return guy. They kind of purposely went out and got him, so kind of seems like he's part of their plans. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. We'll see Tylan Wallace a lot. These are the kind of guys you'll see on the field catching passes from Josh Johnson and Devin Leary, right? Is the
Devin Leary and Emory Jones,
right?
Is a quarterback on this
well-traveled team. College football player. I don't even know where he finished his career at, but. Played for Florida and Arizona State, amongst other places. But so I don't know. Like you said, I think, and Zuribic wrote about this, but the thing I'm sort of just want them to, and it's kind of stinks because we're not going to see it at all in preseason because Mark Andrews isn't going to play. But figuring out Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely on the field at the same time, it seems like something they've been unable to do for 2 years now. And they're two of, like, their four best pass catchers. So while I don't think, like, their receiving room's great, Zay's the only one. And I don't even want to say I trust him because of, you know, we watched their last game. You know, he's the only receiver I feel like I have real high-end thought of. Like, they just need to figure out how to get those two guys on the field at the same time. And that's what kind of stinks with the way preseason is now, is that's not something we're going to see until week one. In Arrowhead again, is can these two guys play on the field at the same time? And can they do that consistently? Because I think that's like probably their best look. Because I think I love Likely what he can do as a receiver. And Mark Andrews is great. He's real consistent, real solid. It hasn't happened for 2 years. Can it happen in year three with Likely and Andrews? We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just as simple as this comes down to Tylan Wallace or no Tylan Wallace. I think everybody else is kind of on the outs because of other positions and other uncertainties across the roster that you need to keep more bodies at. This team always loses secondary guys. They just signed Eddie Jackson. You're going to have bodies there. I mean, you're looking now, excuse me, it's Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins, Kyle Hamilton, Eddie Jackson, Marcus Williams, Brandon Stevens, Jalen Armour-Davis, Arthur Millett, Pepe Williams, and then you're looking at like the Daryl Worleys, our Darius Washingtons of the world. TJ Tampa probably won't count against it because they'll find some way to put him on like the pup list or something like that. But that's nine guys that I just listed out there. Don't forget Bump Cooper Jr., by the way. Third string nickelback right now. No, I just and then offensive line, you're always going to want to keep more of those guys. Tylan Wallace is one of those dudes that just like, as mentioned before, our good friend James Prochet, keeps having good camps. But at some point, that and your special teams ability, it's going to be knocked down a peg when they can find a cheaper, different position to replace you that better fits with the grand scheme of the roster. So we'll have to see. But I think that anybody else in that group, you know, 90% of the wide receivers that you're going to see on Friday will not be wearing a Ravens uniform come week one.
Tim teed me up perfectly for the last position group that I want to talk about, because it's a talented group. As Tim mentioned those names, it is the secondary. I guess I hadn't like seen the list put together until maybe today. It's a deep list. It is a deep and talented list, from corner to safety to reserve type players. Jalen Armour Davis, we talked about him last week as having a stellar first week of camp. He will play in this preseason game, and he will have to show out in this preseason game. He has three games to convince the Ravens defensive staff that he needs to be the ninth guy in this secondary, the eighth guy in this secondary. And it's, you know, it's a good thing to see that he has done well in camp. It seems to set up perfectly for him to have a lot of snaps and a lot of opportunities in this game. And listen, Jalen, I know you listen to Pod Like a Raven. If it's Kenny Pickett, just kind of sit. I would recommend just kind of sit on the short stuff, and the ball will find you. So that's my advice for him. But I'm like cautiously optimistic, health aside. Oh, see, I penalized myself. Health aside, in the, you know, as the season goes on, is this the strongest position group that this team has right now, just in terms of depth from top to bottom and talent from top to bottom? Obviously, we don't know Wiggins, but he's a first round guy. Like, he's got to produce a little bit, but considering the struggles this team has had at this position in years past, it kind of seems like right now, as best as the front office can do, they have put this position group in a position to succeed.
Yeah, I don't think you can ask for more. They identified a perceived weakness, or certainly area you can prove. You know, I think we entered the offseason talking about secondary, pass rush, offensive line. And in a cap world, unfortunately, when we've talked about this at length, but when you pay your quarterback, you know, $50 million a year, you can't address it all via free agency or otherwise. But I think what they did is, you know, really solid. And I do think this is as deep as this group's been in a long time. And I think for a passing league, it's what you want. So certainly, you know, we've talked, they need more from Marlon Humphrey this season, I think, because if he kind of continues his decline, suddenly you're like, your secondary is not looking as good if what your highest paid and starting cornerback struggles at times. And you know, they're playing for the future. Brandon Stevens, I'd be shocked if he's on the team next year, just the way sort of they draft two cornerbacks in this draft with a guy entering his final season under contract, his fourth and final year under contract. Seems like they're setting up for him to sort of depart. But
Brandon Stevens, you are a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Yeah, the usual suspects who are always spending money in March will be finding a nice home with them. And who knows, the way the Ravens work, we might see him again in a few years, because John Harbaugh has guys he likes, and they seem to come around again. You know, what, Brent Urban's on his, like, fourth tour of duty with us. I think this group is as good as you can attempt to fix it, I think, on the fly. and that's all you can really ask for from your front office. So yeah, I'm excited to see him. Obviously, we're not going to see, I think, all the players we love, certainly on Friday night. No Kyle Hamilton, guys like that. But like we talked about, Nate Wiggins will play, and a guy like Jalen Armour Davis will play. And like you said, he needs to show out because he's entering year three, him and Pepe Williams, entering year three, haven't shown much. They seem to like Armour Davis. He just can't stay on the field. But if he's able to actually do that and stay in the rotation, they've proven they can't have too many corners. So, yeah, I hope he'll definitely be, I think, one of the top players worth sort of watching, assuming he's out there on Friday night.
It's so when you first said it, Antonio, I basically recoiled of, is this the best unit on this Ravens team, which is obviously very talented, but like I would argue tight end and then maybe defensive line, but also those are units that are much smaller than an entire defensive secondary, especially now how the game is played, where you need on most plays you need at least five guys back there in some sort of defensive backfield role. And yeah, it'll be interesting because essentially, 2 years ago, the Ravens did the same thing that they did this year with going double corner. Now, obviously, it was a bit more draft capital with the first-round pick and Nate Wiggins. Tampa was a fourth-round pick. They did the double fourth-round picks in Jalen Armour Davis and Pepe Williams in 2022. And at some point, these guys got to show up, right? It would be very cool to see a Brandon Stevens-like rise. Brandon Stevens, for those of you that might not remember, third-round pick in 2021, was a running back at SMU who they decided to convert to a defensive back, to a corner. And because of he got drafted right in the middle of all the injury issues with the Ravens, played a lot and has played a lot over the, three seasons that he's been here. And he has improved noticeably to the point where Jace nails it. He's going to get broken off by the Atlanta Falcons in the offseason or somebody like that. They're going to let go of A.J. Terrell and then sign Brandon Stevens for A.J. Terrell money. And then, God willing, he performs, but I have my doubts. I think that you definitely need a guy like an Armour Davis or Pepe Williams, somebody like that, to step up and perform. But I'm a little bit worried about that because of what Jace mentioned before. These guys have not stayed on the field like a Brandon Stevens, who essentially was thrown into the fire, oft criticized because he wasn't playing to the level that they needed him to play. But got the reps, improved. And now I think for me is a very solid second corner in the National Football League, big, physical, and has gotten way better at the craft as he's developed. A great pick by Eric DaCosta. And then, you know, we can do this more as we get deeper into the season and kind of into bigger season preview stuff. But Marlon Humphrey's got to come back to who he's getting paid like one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, and he's got to show it. I like the fact that he kind of knows it. It seems like from everything that's coming, everything that's been said out of camp and stuff, he understands that he has to make more of an impact as one of the leaders and highest paid players on this team. And, you know, let's hope we see it.
His name has been one in terms of another interception for this defense in camp has been Marlon Humphrey over and over again. Three first round draft picks are in this group, and then Pro Bowlers after that in Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson. So there's certainly pedigree and talent. I'm penalizing myself again. Just have to hope for health from this group as we get into October, November, December. Okay, let's quickly go around the NFL. Just one topic that I wanted to go over as August turns. Always quickly to September and to NFL, real NFL games. Just kind of want to take a look around at some of the QB jobs around the league. In case you haven't been paying attention in the offseason, and it's mostly bad. The names I'm going to go over are bad. I'll just kind of run through a few of these teams, and then I'll let my co-hosts pick which one intrigues them the most or which dumpster fire they're going to enjoy the most. Because they're question marks about who is going to play, who's going to start, and what the situation is, if any of them should be starting on these particular teams. But The Steelers are the one that's closest to home. Russell Wilson seems to be the starter for right now. But NFL Twitter is telling me that Justin Fields is breathing down his neck and has been making great throws in practice playing with the ones while Wilson has been a little bit banged up. So my talking point is who will be starting week one and then who will be starting week eight, because I think it's two different names, but that's it for Pittsburgh. The Jets. I'm saying it. If you are a Jets fan, how confident are you right now in Aaron Rodgers just day one leading this team and being there all season for ... a playoff run? Denver. Oh boy. It's Jarrett Stidham, Zach Wilson, and the rookie first round pick, Bo Nix. I feel like if you combine all three of those guys and take their best traits, you kind of maybe end up with a solid starter, but that's not how alchemy works. So they will not be able to do that. They can only play one of them at once. I would not want to be a Denver fan these days. The Raiders. Oh boy. Kind of in a similar spot. They have Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Mediocrity personified, in my opinion. We'll see what happens there. The Vikings get to have that decision about whether their rookie is ready in J.J. McCarthy or whether they start the year with Sam Darnold. And then the rookie QBs. Haven't seen much. Obviously, a lot of this is kind of kept close to the vest from teams. They will play very little in the preseason. Caleb Williams for the Bears did not play in the Hall of Fame game. I kind of don't think he will play at all in the preseason. Jaden Daniels for Washington apparently will play in the preseason, which is maybe a little bit of a clue that they need to see something from him to see if he will start the season opener. And then Drake May for the Patriots, which I will admit I know almost nothing about how that camp has gone. It's summer vacation for me, so I'm paying attention to the world of New England sports as little as possible. So I'll let I'll let one of my co-hosts fill me in on that. But what are you guys paying most attention to in terms of these QB, let's call them situations in the NFL?
I'll start obvious with the Steelers, because that's the team that just obviously is the team that we're the most concerned about. It looks like Russell Wilson pulled up during a conditioning test, and that's why Justin Fields has been taking a majority of the first team snaps recently. Just love getting that guy, who admittedly the Steelers don't have to be paying that much money, so they're fine. But that old wily vet who then, you know, essentially pulls a hamstring while trying to run a sprint during a conditioning test. Not great for them. I don't know, because I feel like either way I'm going to eat my words here just because I'm a pessimist. But I almost want Russell Wilson to keep that gig, because Justin Fields and Arthur Smith together, there's just some weird BS where they win like seven games by a combined score of 7 points because of just crazy stuff that they pull out. And two of those are against the Ravens, by the way. And so I just... The Justin Fields thing, I think, can get weird enough for me where I'm worried about it, where Russell Wilson I'm just not worried about anymore. So I'm watching that one. And then I'll go, because I have thoughts on these other ones, but I'll let Jace take them. I'm going to go the Raiders, too, because, like, remember the Raiders were in the draft conversations were, you know, Antonio Pierce loved Jaden Daniels. They worked together at Arizona State. They were trying to make a move for a quarterback. They were, you know, all these rumors about them moving up to 3 or moving up to 2, and they didn't have the draft capital for it, but they were going to make it work. Would they trade a Max Crosby type to get a quarterback of the future? And they're stuck with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. I think Gardner Minshew is a decent player in this league. I think he did a pretty good job with the Colts last season when Anthony Richardson got hurt. But if that doesn't scream either mediocrity or bad with a coach who... Look, at the time of this podcast, I said that they should have given him the job, and they did. I think Antonio Pierce is well-liked in that locker room to the point where players were, like, threatening to boycott if he didn't get the job. So they ended up getting their guy, but an inexperienced head coach with this play, level of play, I guess, at quarterback, there's a lot of talented guys. There's some talented guys on that Raiders roster, where it might end up being an exodus after the year if they finish, what, 7-10 or worse, and it just the needle hasn't been moved. And by the way, they've already pissed off Patrick Mahomes. If you haven't seen this, they had a Kermit the Frog like puppet with a Chiefs jersey on, and Patrick Mahomes is like curl hair, like, because Mahomes sounds like Kermit the Frog. We all know this, but they went and pissed off the best player in the league. And I'm not looking at the list that the NFL players voted on, the best player in the league. And now they're going to have to deal with that. I think this could be a really tumultuous season for the Raiders, because they're just getting, I almost said Ravers there, like Ravens and Raiders.
It is Vegas.
Yeah, that's true. They're definitely Raven at some point. But it's one of those for me where I don't know if I'm necessarily looking at the quarterback battle, but I just look at it, and even the reports on ESPN that you look, it's like Antonio Pierce has said that nobody has separated themselves because they've both just been meh. And that could get really sour really quickly with the likes of a Max Crosby who loves the Raiders, but, like, you know, is going to want out. If they're 2-6 at the trade deadline, Davante Adams is going to want to go to a contender. They just signed Christian Wilkins for $100 million. Like, what is he going to think if this team is just a nothing burger because of the mediocrity at quarterback? It's just that we'll do our over-unders in a couple of weeks here. I'm just circling the Raiders because I think that their number might be a little higher than we want it to be, because it's like, oh, feel-good story with Antonio Pierce. Oh, there's talent on the roster. And then it's Aiden O'Connell going out there, who literally looks like a backup electrician, like going out there and trying to make plays for this Raiders team. It seems just so dour and desperate in Vegas.
I had a coworker say I kind of look like Aiden O'Connell, and there's a little similarities that I'm not in love with. I don't know if it's flattering.
You, by the way, are a starting electrician. You're not a backup.
I don't know if
Holy
it's flattering.
Holy cow. It's there. It's definitely there. We need you to go just mustache. We need a beard to go, and I think, wow.
Yeah, I don't know who it's less flattering for, me or him, but I'm glad you brought up the Raiders, Tim, because this has been something that has been sort of eating at me. I'm kind of just combining the Raiders and Broncos into one, and it's the fact that the AFC West that the Chiefs play in has just turned into the Brady-era AFC East, where three of the five worst teams in the AFC play in the AFC West, and the Chiefs just have a cakewalk to the number one seed every year because they play these garbage teams that don't have quarterbacks, and then the Chargers, who are the Chargers. And I think the Chargers are better, but they're still this Chargers won, what, 5 games last year, right? Maybe 6? 5, I think.
They're still the Chargers, Jason.
And like, yeah, it's like every team in that division stinks except the 2-time Super Bowl champs. And you just look and you're like, I think the Broncos are going to be horrible, and the Raiders aren't going to be much better, and the Chargers might jump several ones and still be bad. They're obviously doing a sort of transformation here under Harbaugh and our boy Joe Ortiz. So that's just kind of ate at me, sort of, is just the state of the Broncos, the state of the Raiders, and what that means for the Chiefs as you know, the Ravens and all these, and like the Bills and all these other contenders have to actually deal with tough competition in their division. The only other thing on the QB fronts, I don't know what has happened to my For You page if I just watch these videos when they're sent to me, but I've been getting like so much JJ McCarthy content on my Twitter timeline. And
I'll tell you what, Jace, quickly, it could be a lot worse. Based on what Twitter has become now. You could be seeing like murders, people getting hit by cars in Russia. You could be seeing a lot of things, and you're just seeing JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, that's true. So it's not as bad as it could be. But these accounts that are getting sent to me are like convinced he's like the second coming. And some guy compared him to Mahomes. I think he was doing a joke, but like, it's hard to tell, because then you get like earnest Vikings posts. Like some guy was like, "We've never had a quarterback do this." It was kind of just like he kind of rolled out and threw on the run. I don't really have a strong take on that, but I've just found it fascinating that of all the rookie quarterbacks, I've somehow seen McCarthy footage more than seemingly like any other guy. I guess just to wrap things up on my end, because I think you guys nailed the Steelers. Like, they're gonna be good. I still don't get what they're doing. Like, we talked about this, I think, when it happened, but both of those guys are on one-year deals, and they're trying to win now, but also don't have a quarterback for the future, but probably aren't going to win now with these two guys.
I need to jump in, Jason. I don't think they're going to be good. I think they're just going to be annoying. They're not going to I don't see them as a playoff team. They're just going to be either 8-9 or 9-8.
Yeah. I mean, that's the Steelers' way in recent years. And to our earlier conversation, Patrick Queen will pick off Lamar Jackson in a game this year. I'm sure there's prop bets. I'll have to put some money down Patrick Queen to have a pick whenever we play them. But the team I'll wrap with is the Jets. Because, as I don't want to say neutral fan, obviously we're a fan-focused podcast, but just as a Ravens fan who also watches basically every other NFL game he can, all the national ones he can watch. We're getting fed the Jets a lot. I believe they have 6 primetime games this year, and like all in like the first like half of the season, basically. And it's a team that Robert Saleh said offhand, and I just saw the, like, I didn't see the direct quote. It was just sort of the paraphrase, but basically said Rodgers wasn't going to play as he recovers from his Achilles injury. And you're like, oh, that's weird, because he was talking about playing last season. Six months ago. Yeah, he was talking about playing in December if the Jets were in contention, and now it's the following August, and he's still recovering. That's interesting, from his injury that happened in early September. Just making a note of that. And, you know, I get it, though. He's a 40-year-old man. He's the oldest player in the NFL. He's a 40-year-old guy coming off an Achilles injury. You know, maybe Rodgers was starting to fall off anyway. The Packers were certainly not begging to keep him when they traded him to the Jets. He'd had a so-so 2022 season, and they showed him the door when he started demanding it, and they were fine with it, eating the cap hit and everything. And I would just be concerned as a Jets fan that I do think the roster is pretty good, top to bottom, that your hopes are once again, and Tyrod's there, right? They brought him in as their backup. So their backup situation's a little better than Zach Wilson this year. But still, your Super Bowl hopes are hinging on a 40-year-old guy having a successful recovery from, like, an injury that seemingly should sap any ounce of mobility he probably once had. You know, mobility that was declining anyway. So that'll be something, I think, just to watch, and I think we'll have to watch, because we're going to be subjected to it a lot. You're going to see a ton of Jets games in primetime this year, and if he stinks, it's going to be just another just brutal, just you're watching these games in primetime where the Jets are losing like 17-10, and he can't escape a sack or something, and they're booing, and it's just depressing, and it's cold and windy there, and I could see it going bad, because I do think there's expectations again, but like if this doesn't work out, and then you're looking at a 41-year-old quarterback next year. Well, he turns 41 this year. He was born in 83. So, yeah, he turns 41 by the end of the year. So, like, I don't know. If it doesn't work out this year, you're back to square one as the team that has the longest playoff drought in the NFL. You just have to hope it works, because if not, I think you're looking at another 2-3 seasons without the playoffs, while wasting a legitimately very great defense.
Yeah, and I'm not hoping for injury or expecting injury or anything like that, but he then has to play 8 or 9 games back on that field that, like, famously injures players all the time, including him, within 3 or 4 snaps of the Week 1 game. So, a lot of questions there for an aging Aaron Rodgers. That's it for us, I think. Very exciting to have an actual Ravens game this Friday. We will all be watching, certainly, and reporting on it next week. For Jace Evans and Tim Horsey, I am Antonio Barbera. Guys, there is Ravens football on this week, and we will be back to talk all about it. We will see you next week.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.